And now, it's time for World of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of World of Prophecy. You know, the wonderful thing about prophecy is that it is always 100% inerrant. There were over 300 prophecies, messianic prophecies, that pointed to Jesus Christ coming. And the way that we witness to Jews today, for example, is to go to the Old Testament and to the Torah and say, well, the Old Testament prophets prophesied of the Messiah coming. And so many Jews have found Jesus Christ. And we praise God for that because they've seen the power of Bible prophecy. At the same time, in the New Testament, Bible prophecy points to the second coming of Jesus. You know, the Old Testament, we saw the first coming of God in the flesh. Now we see the second coming. And, of course, conditions will be quite different during that second coming as Jesus comes in glory. But one of the things that we're warned about is a great assault in the last days. Now, any of you who've been listening to World of Prophecy or get our newsletter Flashpoint. In fact, even if you're just looking around at the world today and observing how things relate to the predictions in the Bible, you understand that the greatest assault in the last days does not come upon Christians. Yes, we'll be persecuted, reviled, and hated for our faith. I have no doubt at all that if we refuse that mark or that name or that number of the beast, we're going to be herded in the concentration camps. I think that's coming. It would have to fulfill Bible prophecy. We're not going to be able to buy or sell, for example, without that name or mark or number. But you see, we really, being children of God, suffering for Christ, must understand this is not the greatest assault. No, this is not the greatest assault. The greatest assault, I am convinced, and the guest you're going to meet in a few moments knows full well, it will come and is coming upon God's word. How better to conquer human souls than to give them a false Bible? Think about that, my friends. Think about it. A Bible that, for example, omits many times the name of the Lord, the name of God, the very word heaven. The devil doesn't want people to know that there is a heaven. The word repent. The devil certainly doesn't want people to repent. The blood of Jesus Christ, the blood. The devil doesn't want people to know about the blood and its healing power, its salvation force, and hell. Well, if I were the devil and I knew my destiny was hell, well, I think I'd be so angry I'd want everybody to go there with me. Well, the way to get everybody there in hell with me is to make sure they don't know there is a hell. If they know there's a hell, they're going to do everything they can to avoid it. So you just cover up the fact there's a hell. Are there Bibles like this that take out these kinds of words? Of course there are. And my guest today has written a best-selling book entitled New Age Bible Versions. Now, naturally, when you write a book like that, you're going to be reviled and mocked and ridiculed and despised. But I know this lady. I know her husband. I know her little girl. One that I have met them personally. And, you know, she still smiles every day. And because she knows the truth. And she's persevering. She knows that Jesus said, blessed are you when men persecute you for my name's sake. Now, I've asked her to come on this program today, and I bet some of you already know her name. I suspect there are a number out there listening somewhere in the, whether it's here in the United States or overseas, know who I'm talking about, because her book has made quite a ripple. And she's got some videos out now, and we're going to be offering to you a little bit later in this program, so you'll want to get your pen and some paper handy. We're going to give you a 1-800 number, tell you how you can get these videos, and we'll even tell you how to contact Gail Ripplinger. That's right, Gail Ripplinger, and her ministry. So there are other videos and things you'll want to order from her. But we're going to tell you about this video in just a moment. But first, I want to introduce to you Gail Ripplinger. Gail, welcome to World of Prophecy.
It's a pleasure to be with you today, Tex.
You know, we just had such a great time being there in North Carolina with you and Michael and your sweet little girl. She's so perceptive. And obviously, you're really bringing her up in the admonition of the Lord. You see that as a great responsibility, I assume.
Well, I do it. This year I'm homeschooling my daughter, and it's a privilege, and we're working through the Bible together. She's a great fan of yours, Tex. She likes to read through your books and discover things and show me things in them.
Well, how old is she now?
She's 9 years old.
Just 9. Well, she's so smart. Well, I shouldn't tell people this on the air, but it was so humorous to me. As we were sitting down there, remember with Pastor Chambers?
Right, uh-huh.
And we were at his house, and he was very gracious, he and Juanita, his wife. And we were sitting there around the table and just chatting. I think we had already eaten and just were having a cup of coffee or something. I can't remember exactly, Gail. But your little girl, she'd been up there, you know, just reading kids' books. And boy, she comes running down the stairs. She had this Disney book. And she says, look, this has got all kind of New Age stuff in it. And Pastor Chambers was sort of embarrassed, you know, because he didn't realize that it was even in his house. Of course, he knows now. He's exposed Disney and some of the bad things that are in some of the Disney publications and movies. But, you know, she had found it for herself, and she was down there showing it to us. And it tells me that, you know, she had been trained, and she cannot, at 9 years old, she cannot be deceived, right?
Well, she was listening to your speech the other evening, and you were talking about Gaia and the worship of Mother Earth, and so she saw that in the book. So she'd learned that from you the evening previous.
You know, I love to get letters from young people here in the ministry, and I get a lot of letters from young folks, and it's amazing. And I'll tell you, there are young people out there that are writing to me, and they're asking us to pray for their parents. Their parents are getting involved in cults. You know, that generation, I think the 60s generation was a very sad one. Into drugs, the hippie movement, the government, anti-government rebellion, and so forth. And, you know, even kids today are paying a price for that, aren't they?
Well, that's right. This is the second generation, and they have no parents. You know, their parents are working, and they're left at home by themselves to sit in front of the TV and to be indoctrinated into the New Age, more or less.
And it seems like, you know, the folks who control us, who are out to enslave us, they're delighted that both parents have to work now just to make a living quite often. You know, it would be a threat to them if every child was homeschooled, don't you think?
Well, that's right. You know, when we see Rupert Murdoch trying to control all of the television stations in the United States, trying to control all the newspapers, and then purchasing the printing rights to the NIV, and then also being the producer and owner of the Bart Simpson television program, we can see that they do not have good plans ahead for our children.
Boy, so you're well, let's just get right into this new video, because I know that's on the video we're going to be offering people. Basically, this video is called The King James Bible Perfection versus the New Version Perversions. That's really the title of this video. Let's start right off with Rupert Murdoch. Now, he's Newt Gingrich's good friend, given Newt, of course, many hundreds of thousands of dollars for his campaign and so forth. He's such a powerful man that even Ted Turner seems to fear the guy. He's a billionaire. He owns Fox Network. And he owns the Bart Simpson that you just mentioned, the television program. So here this man owns the printing rights to the New International Version?
That's right. You know, the Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But Rupert would add, just don't use more than 200 words. Now that he owns the exclusive printing rights to the NIV, if he wanted to use more than 200 words of the NIV, he would have to go to Rupert Murdoch. And this being, as you mentioned, the same man who owns and produces the filthy Bart Simpson television show. He owns the TV Guide for those who won't read his NIV, and he owns Fox Broadcasting, he owns 20th Century Fox Movies, and he also owns a satellite that covers much of Asia. The Chicago Tribune writer, Mr. Royko, called him journalism's Prince of Darkness.
The Prince of Darkness. But he owns it. In other words, the NIV, the words, are copyrighted. But now how could they be copyrighted? How can you copyright what God said? Why doesn't God own the copyright?
Right. Well, copyright relates to authorship. And since the King James Bible was authored by God, there is no copyright. So you or I could print that Bible, or Christians during the tribulation could print that Bible in their basements, because God is the author. But since man is the author of the NIV and the New King James and the New Versions, I'm afraid that they retain the copyright. So that proves, in fact, that they are not of God.
Hmm. Well, now, you know, looking at, the New King James, many people say, well, it's almost like the King James. It just improves some of the words. But is it, according to copyright law, can it be almost like the original?
Well, you know, the New King James was copywritten under something called the derivative copyright law. And that copyright law says that making minor changes or additions of little substance to a pre-existing work will not qualify the work as a new version for copyright purposes. And so in order for the New King James people to copyright their Bible, they have to change the easy words in the New King James, like evil, a simple word like evil, to something different, because the word evil has already been used by the King James. So they will take a simple Anglo-Saxon two-syllable word like evil and change it to adversity, distressing, catastrophe, calamity, difficult harm, terrible. They'll take a simple word like ferret and change it to gecko, a simple word like oak in Genesis 35:8 to terebinth, simple words that children can understand like little rivers, and they'll change that to rivulets. And they do all of these things because of the derivative copyright law. They cannot take the King James Bible and copyright it as it is and pretend it's theirs and get money from that. And so they've got to change it. So when you run the New King James up on the Flesh Kincaid grade level indicator using the Grammatique 4.50 or program, the King James comes up at the fifth grade level. The New King James comes up at the sixth grade level. And you can get the same results when you use Word for Windows, or even if you use the very, very difficult Gooning Fog indicator. The King James will come up at the eighth grade level, and the New King James will come up at the ninth grade level.
It's just harder to read.
Right. Well, it's always harder to read because of this derivative copyright law. You can run up those two Bibles, the King James and the New King James, and every computer program that's available to test readability, for instance, Readability Plus, which is a 1989 shareware, it will analyze the syllables per word, and it proves that the King James has more short words and less long words than the New King James. If you take something like the average number of words per sentence and using Grammatique 4.0 or 5.0, the King James comes up at an average of 15 words per sentence, and the New King James comes up at an average of 16 words per sentence. So it doesn't matter what formula you use, the New King James is always harder to read than the King James.
And they have to do this. In other words, they could not have taken just the these and the thous and the thines, which is what a lot of people think has changed only. They couldn't do that. They had to, you know, you have to keep doing more and more because it's required by copyright, or you won't own the copyright and make all the millions of dollars.
Well, that's right. You know, Burton Goodard, in his book, The NIV Story, said that the translators have to use a thesaurus. So, for example, a word like give in the King James is a simple word. Well, the NIV has already taken the first synonym for give. The New American Standard has taken the second synonym in the thesaurus. And so the New King James will have to take the third synonym, which is gratify.
So it doesn't, it's not a matter of going and seeing what the it was originally, you know, in Greek, under the best manuscripts we have, Greek or Hebrew. You can't just do that. You've got to figure out some new words so you can copyright the new words and make money. So they're required, they're forced, as more and more versions to come out, to get further and further away from the truth so that they can make money. Otherwise, they couldn't copyright it. That's incredible, Gail.
Well, there will never be a Bible easier than the King James Bible, because the King James has used all of those simple Anglo-Saxon words. And the King James Bible uses something called cognitive scaffolding. That's where it'll take a word like evil, which is built from the word devil. And so my little girl, if I said to her, what does evil mean? She said, well, that's devil, Mommy. There's cognitive scaffolding there. The words build upon one another. But the new versions don't do any cognitive scaffolding at all.
Listen, you know, when we're going to be offering a little bit later on the program this video, one of the things we're going to send with it, Gail, is your new tract. It's looking at it, you know, the size of a regular a page, you know, 8.5 by 11. It's 4 pages long. You have here a chart, very long chart. It compares words in the New King James with those in the King James. And I wonder if we could go, for example, to the second page up there where it starts Psalm 43, verse 1.
Okay, and what is that verse? I don't have it right.
Oh, I'm sorry. You don't have this tract in front of you?
No, I don't.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Well, for example, Psalm 43, 1, you put down here the New King James has vindicate, but the King James has judge.
Okay, right. The King James always has easier words. For instance, the King James will say smell in Amos 5:21. The New King James will say savor. Or the King James will say house in 2 Corinthians 5:2. The New King James will say habitation. The King James will say fat. The New King James in Isaiah 28:1 will say verdant. Obviously, that was about the 10th word in the thesaurus, I think. The King James will say old in Deuteronomy 28:50. The New King James will say elderly. Judges 19, King James will say bones. New King James will say limb. And so repeatedly, they always use a harder word. As a matter of fact, on that track, I think I've documented at least 100 instances where they use more difficult words. And if I could have fit 5,000 on, I could have put them there, because it was a matter of just choosing a few and putting them on there.
Gail, this is incredible. For example, the King James says... here's one, judge. Everybody knows how to judge or what to judge is, but the New King James says vindicate. Here's another one. King James says men that die, and you show here in your tract, the New King James says mortal men. Well, I think to know men that die is a little bit easier than mortal men. Here's another one. I love this one that you've got in here, Gail. 1 Kings 10, verse 28. King James, the wording there is linen yarns. Linen yarns, Y-A-R-N-S. Linen yarns. You know, anyone can understand linen yarns. But the New King James has Keva, K-E-V-A. No one is more, well, I guess seamstresses might know what Keva is. Here's a good one, Judgment Hall. Now, I bet you know what, that's in the King James, right?
Right, huh?
We're all going to go to a place called the Judgment Hall someday to meet God, but not in the New King James, right?
Right, right.
It's Praetorium.
Right.
We're going to go to God's Praetorium. Everybody's going to say, well, what is that?
Right.
Where am I going? I mean, what is that? You know, this is so funny. I mean, here's one. Oh, I love this one. Acts 27, verse 17. You point out here that the King James has quicksand. Well, it's pretty easy to understand, right? But you point out that the New King James has certus sands. They couldn't just say quicksand. This is unbelievable.
You know, the King James Bible has its own built-in dictionary. That word that you mentioned, I'd listed there, praetorium, the New King James Bible always calls it the praetorium, and it's a very complicated kind of Latinized word. Now, the King James, they do use the word praetorium, but they also call it the common hall in Matthew 27. They call it the hall of judgment in John 18, and the hall of judgment in John 19 and Acts 23. And so what the King James Bible will do for a child is give them an expanded vocabulary. If they cross-reference things, they will get a number of different definitions. In other words, it was a common hall normally. When Jesus went there, it was the hall of judgment. He took our judgment, and technically it was called the praetorium. But if you have a new King James, it's just going to say praetorium, which is just very evasive to an English-speaking person today. You know, the new King James translators seem to be totally ignorant of something called English philology. That is, what do words mean within the English culture? For instance, they will use the Greek transliterated word Hades instead of the English word hell. If you said to a young person, you know, would you want to die and go to hell, our culture has built within the mind of that person a fear of that word. If you said it to a young person, would you want to die and go to Hades, they wouldn't have any idea what you were talking about. However, there's a rock group out today called Styx. And they tell young people in their rock music that if you kill yourself and commit suicide, you will go to a wonderful place called Hades and party forever. And so that vacuum in the culture for the word Hades has been filled by the devil. So if a young person goes to church on Sunday and the pastor in the New King James Church tells them that if they don't receive Jesus as their Savior, they will go to Hades, well, they'll think back to that rock music they were listening to Friday night and think, well, that seems like a pretty good place to go. So they seem very ignorant of simple English philology and what words mean within the English culture.
That's really sad. It really is. Now, there's evidently, it's not just a matter. And by the way, you know, when we get to the second part of this program, I want to ask you about Roman Catholic Cardinal Carlo Martini and what connection he has with the new versions. People may be surprised about that. I'm also going to ask you in the when we come back from the break a little later on about Mr. Martin Woodstra. Did he have anything to do with the NIV translation committee? And does he have some kind of affiliation with homosexuality? We're going to ask you some of those probing questions, Gail, when we come back. But right now, I want to ask you this. Okay, we've seen, and you documented, we're going to be giving this out with the video, how much easier the King James is. I mean, the words are so easy. For example, came nigh unto the sea, Matthew 15, verse 29. But you show here the New King James has skirted the sea. A penny. Hey, everybody can understand a penny in the King James, but the New King James has a denarius. So, you know, it's just ridiculous. But I have to ask you this question. It's bad enough to take a word and make it more difficult so people can't even understand it as the New King James does. But are there words that are missing in the New King James?
You know, they pretend that the New King James is easier to understand, but in fact, it's easier to misunderstand doctrinally. You know, my question is, how many dollars must one steal before they can be called a thief? And the New King James omits the word blood 23 times in the Bible. And we know that that's how we're saved, through the blood of Jesus Christ, you know. The Theosophical Society, back around the turn of the century, I have a quote from their Transactions of the First Annual Congress of their Theosophical Society, and they said, quote, "I believe it is through the churches and not through the Theosophical Society that theosophy," and we know that's the worship of Lucifer, "must and should come to large bodies of people in the West. The work of destructive criticism has paved the way, sweeping away certain phrases which grate on the ears. Phrases like washed in the blood are one." So then we look at the New King James, and they've taken the word blood out 23 times. So that prophecy 100 years ago by those Luciferians that said they were going to bring in Lucifer worship through the churches, and that they were going to take out phrases like washed in the blood, 100 years later, this has taken place in the New King James Bible. And they have not omitted archaic words. They have omitted words that relate to Christian theology. For instance, the word God is out 51 times in the New King James. The word Lord is out 66 times. They've tampered with the deity of God and his name a total of 128 times. They've taken the word hell out 22 times. They've entirely omitted the word Jehovah from the Old Testament. In fact, they've omitted the word New Testament from the entire Bible, so it's no longer in
the There's no New Testament?
Right.
So Jesus gave us the New Testament, right?
Right.
That's what the King James says, but that's not in the New King James.
That's not in the New King James. They've omitted the word damned, they've omitted the word hell, and they've omitted the word God. And I suggest to anyone out there that I think you would hear all of those words in a nightclub today. I don't think they are archaic words, but they are such powerful words that people use them to curse today. And so they are not archaic words. They've omitted the word devils entirely in the New King James, and they've substituted the word demon for the word devils. And you know in Revelation 9:20 where it says they repented not that they should not worship devils. Well, what's happened is the devils in the King James Bible have now become gods in the New King James because they're using the word demon. If you look up the word demon in Webster's Dictionary, it will say it's a tutelary divinity. So they've got demon being a god, sort of the way Plato looked at the demons.
That's interesting because I know in the New Agers, they like to spell it, I think it's D-A-E-M-O-N,
right.
Demon.
Right.
And yeah, they'll make it out into something good. And, of course, I don't mind, in a sense, a person calling a devil a demon because we know that the pagan religions, when they talked about demons as good, we know they were evil. So to us, in our mind as a Christian, a devil is a demon. But nevertheless, we do need to keep in mind what the Bible says. And the Bible just flat out says devil, right?
That's right. Well, you know, they're trying to affect the culture and what the culture thinks about what a demon is. One of the best sellers in the January 1996 best sellers list is a book called The Origin of Satan. It's by a Princeton University professor. Her name is Elaine Pagels. And she says in that book, quote, "We give thanks and offerings and prayers to demons who have been set over the administration of the universe." So she has introduced the idea that demons should be worshipped to a generation of Princeton students there. And, you know, it's hitting the bestsellers list, so lots of people are seeing this. So no wonder it says in Revelation 9, they repented not that they should not worship devils. Well, they don't know they're worshipping devils, but they're worshipping demons, and we've got the new word in the New King James that just fits right in there.
And so, as well, the NIV and the others take out the name Lucifer. So now we don't have a Lucifer and we don't have any more devils, huh?
Right. Well, the New King James has a footnote in Isaiah 14:12, just like the NIV, and it takes you over to the day star in 2 Peter. And so the New King James is, in fact, telling you that Lucifer and Jesus Christ are the same thing. And once again, it takes us back to the Theosophical Society, their newsletter, Lucifer. On the cover of it, back around 1900, it said that Jesus Christ was Lucifer, and then they give the reference in 2 Peter there in Revelation that Jesus Christ is the morning star or the day star. That's a very, very, very bad thing. We have horror novels being produced by Thomas Nelson also, these spine chillers called Dr. Shiver's Carnival of Terrors. So the fact that Thomas Nelson is confusing the devil and Jesus Christ is sort of fits in with their new image.
It does. You know, one of the things in your video, and this all makes sense, is Thomas Nelson. Now, they're the publishers for the New King James Bible, right?
Right, uh-huh.
But one of your exposés in this, and I don't think we're going to have time to get involved in it, but I want to ask you about that when we come back. Thomas Nelson, I'll just ask you this now. He was a very good Protestant man, wasn't he?
Well, as you know, Thomas Nelson was a Roman Catholic. As a matter of fact, Thomas Nelson is now publishing something called The Sacraments of Initiation Bible. It's got the word initiation in about 2-inch letters on the cover of it. And they're getting that from that Evangelicals and Catholics Together document that says, I'm quoting, "For many evangelicals, the new birth requires baptismal initiation." And we know that Christians are not initiated, but Luciferians are initiated. And so Thomas Nelson is also publishing the New American Bible under the cover of the Catholic Bible Press. And so there are two names for Thomas Nelson. One is the Thomas Nelson Company, and the other is the Catholic Bible Press. And that is the official publishers of the New American Bible, which is the official Bible of the Roman Catholic Church. You mentioned Thomas Nelson being a Roman Catholic. I have a letter from him, and the signature is, quote, "Sincerely yours in Christ and Our Lady." So he was most definitely a Roman Catholic. In 1986, they have published a book called Purgatory by the Jesuit Father Shoup, and it says that the souls of Protestants languish the longest and suffer the worst in purgatory because they generally have so few Catholic friends to pray for them. And so Thomas Nelson, who's now been bought out by Sam Moore, but it still appears to be a very, very Roman Catholic organization. As a matter of fact, the United Press had a press release a few years ago that said, quote, "Thomas Nelson Publishers, the world's largest publisher of Bibles, will launch a move today to make its New King James Version the standard Bible for all Christians. He said one subject of the meeting will be the possibility of a Catholic version of the New King James. Robert Schwab, director of advertising, said that they want a summit conference for religious leaders to include Catholics to start a move toward a one Bible, and that would be their New King James Bible.
Wow, Gail, we're going to have to talk more on the other side about that. Folks, my guest is Gail Ripperinger. This is Tex Mars. Stay with us. We're going to be right back after this message. Friends, this is Tex Mars. You've been listening to my special guest, Gail Ripperinger, as she's told you some of the horrors of the New King James Bible. But it's not just the New King James Bible. It's the New International Version. It's the New American Standard Version. It's the, well, it's all of the new versions, unfortunately. And it's very tragic, this great deception. Well, Gail Ripperinger has prepared two tremendous videos. They come in a set, in a very, very attractive case. 3 total hours. King James Bible perfection versus the New Version's perversion. Perfection versus perversion by Gail Ripperinger, the video. 3 hours. It's really an update. Now, if you've gotten the book, New Age Bible Versions, which we offer through the ministry for your love gift of $15, you know how powerful that is and anointed by God's Spirit. But many of you have asked me in the past, you've written and said, do you have a video of Gail Ripperinger? Well, now finally we have this excellent teaching video. And really there are things here that just are not found in the book. I've been encouraging Gail to write another book. I know she's so very, very busy. Her health has not always been the best. So she's put this on video. Now, the things you're hearing on this program, you're going to find on this tremendous video. We want you to have it. Perfection versus perversion. Here's how you can get the video. For your love gift of $30, it's 2 videos, a total of 3 hours. We'll send you this set of 2 videos. Just ask for perfection. We want to start with that. Perfection versus perversion. Or just say, I want the Gail Ripperinger video set. That'll be enough. Our folks here know how to handle your order. Now, to order this, you can call our toll-free number. The toll-free number is 1-800-234-9673. Our regular number, if you're overseas, because that toll-free number won't work, and by the way, this number works anywhere in the United States or overseas, is area code 512-263-9780. You're more than welcome to write to us and send us a check or a money order for this set, your love gift of $30 to the ministry. Please do add $3 now for shipping and handling. And I think that'll probably just barely take care of the cost. But a total of $33 for this 3-hour video set. Just write to World of Prophecy, 1708, that's 1708, Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas. That's Austin, Texas. Zip code is 78733 here in the United States. And with your video, we're going to send you this 4-page tract on the New King James omissions. And you'll see some of the things Gail Ripperinger has told you about, how the New King James Bible omits the word Lord 66 times, omits the word God 51 times, omits the word repent 44 times, omits the word blood 23 times, omits the word hell 22 times. And I've just started with this with this tract. That's just on the very first few lines of this 4-page tract. You'll find out that information. We want you to have both of these things, so please do order these products from the ministry. And as always, we want to tell you how much we really love you and appreciate your orders. Every cent that you send to the ministry in ordering these videos goes into the ministry. I want you to understand that. I don't make any money from it. I don't even receive a salary from the ministry here. Every cent goes back into the ministry when you order this video. And we'll be able to keep the gospel message, the World of Prophecy broadcast, going around the world. So let's return now at this time to World of Prophecy and my special guest and friend, Gail Riplinger. Gail, in a few minutes, I want to get more into the Catholic connection, all right, which you've done so well in your video. But first, there's one thing that you've exposed that is mind-boggling, and it has to do with the logo or the symbol that's found on every edition of the New King James Bible. Would you tell us about that?
There's a new smart card being issued to employees in California now, and it has the New King James logo, which is a 666 form, and that logo is covering the face of this plastic card. Now, in your book, Project Lucid, you talk about these ultraviolet coatings that are etched on the cover of these smart cards, and you talk about the embossed data that they put in these things. And so if people want to read some more about that, I recommend they get your book on that subject. But what happens with this 666 logo is that when the person's picture goes underneath it, the 666 logo appears on people's foreheads. So I think we're closer to, the end than we really think we are. Now, if you ask Thomas Nelson about this logo, they will say it's a triquetra, that it's a symbol for the Trinity. But if you look in a standard reference work like the Macmillan Visual Dictionary or the Macmillan Visual Desk Reference, it will show you that it's not a triquetra, which is their item number 47, but it's actually something that they identify as item number 35, which is the serpent noad. Now, if you look at Ed Decker's booklet, The Question of Freemasonry, they will show that exact logo when someone is being initiated into the Masonic Royal Arch degree. And they put that logo on the apron of the person, and they communicate to one another using that logo. And basically what it is, it's three men are joined together, and they cross their arms over one another. They put their feet together, and they form a triangle. And John Ankerberg showed an aerial view of this in his expose on Masonry. And you can see that it's exactly the same logo as you see on the New King James. And you can even look at something like the Pagan Book of Days, and they have three women on the cover of it doing this exact same thing. Well, this, I think, was invented by Mr. Aleister Crowley around the turn of the century, this Royal Arch degree. And it was designed to blaspheme God because they say Jabul on, this false trinity. And as I traced it back in history, I can trace it back as far as Pythagoras, who was the inventor of geometry. But he was an initiate into the Egyptian mysteries, and his students used this New King James logo as a 666 symbol to communicate with one another. You can study this in Lempriere's Classical Dictionary of Proper Names. If you look in Richardson's Richardson's Monitor of Freemasonry on page 66, it says, "How shall I know you to be a Royal Arch Mason?" And the answer is by the 3x3, which is the New King James logo. So we have these people, whether they have been initiated into Masonry or not, they're aware that this is a logo or this is a device to communicate occultically. And so the Aquarian Conspiracy, that popular book that came out during the 80s that talked about and boasts about the New Age, they've got it on the cover. James White's book against the King James Bible, called The King James Only Controversy, he uses it, so he's communicating. And Led Zeppelin, which is one of the blackest, darkest occult rock heavy metal groups out there, they have it all over their albums. So they bought Aleister Crowley's mansion, and they're very involved in the occult. And in fact, in your book, Circle of Intrigue, you show something very similar with the Trilateral Commission and the World Future Society. So they're all communicating with this 666 logo thing. As a matter of fact, if you look in a book called Treasury of Witchcraft, you will find the New King James logo on the tail of a dragon. They tie the dragon's tail in a knot. Even Pat Robertson, in a recent issue of Christianity Today, he shows the outline of this form. So it appears that he's communicating with someone there, too. You know, we all remember in February the 1986 cover of Time magazine where Pat Robertson was giving his little Masonic hand signals.
Oh, yeah.
And I have a picture of Karl Marx where he's given the same hand signal, and another one of Anne DeSant. You know, it says in Proverbs, they speak with their hands and they teach with their feet. but they're really just worshiping this unholy trinity, which I found in a book called Mastering Witchcraft. It says, quote, "Thou of the unholy trinity, help us." And so what they're doing is they're foreshadowing the false trinity of the devil, the beast, and the false prophet in Revelation 20, verse 10. But you know, if we have any questions in our mind, is the New King James correct in using a so-called picture of the Trinity, we could simply look at Acts chapter 17, verse 29, where it says, "We ought not to think that the Godhead is like anything, graven by art or man's device." And so the Bible forbids us to make little pictures of the Godhead, and when we create an idol or a picture, we know it's always a false god. And it sort of makes me laugh, because when you look in the New King James, in that very verse, they take the Godhead out of the Bible. So they've exchanged the Word of God, which is the Godhead, for a picture on the front of their phony Bible. And we know that pagans always move the culture from a word-based culture to an image-based culture. And so that's exactly what's happening with the New King James here.
Mm. This is just astonishing. That symbol, it is three sixes all connected together. Now, you sent me an article here, a separate article, which I appreciate, about this new smart card. And it has a picture of the man, it could be a woman too, who's the holder of the card. Now, these are being issued now by MasterCard through Citibank, Chase Manhattan Bank, and so forth, these smart cards. But all across his entire head, they've stamped this tri-symbol, this 666 symbol, all over the man's head, right?
Well, that's right. Well, you know, if we want to find out, you know, this is the symbol for the Masonic Royal Arch. And if we want to find out what is this Royal Arch, Anne Besant is going to tell us in her book called Esoteric Christianity. And she says, quote, "The deities who are worshipped are the various devils, but behind them is an overarching presence, near the Royal Arch, seldom or never named, but whispered. His presence cheered the hunted occultist." So we have the name of who is this Royal Arch symbol, and that the Royal Arch is Lucifer, the archangel that fell. And so, as a matter of fact, B.F. Westcott, who wrote the Greek text underlying the New Versions, dedicated his book to something called the Presence. And there's even a book that not too many people have available to them called Confessions of a Heretic by Dave Hunt, where he said he was visited by something called the Presence. So I don't think this overarching presence is a good thing, but we see it introduced in the New King James Bible as a substitute for the person of Jesus Christ in 2 Corinthians 2:10. We see it moving into the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible all over the place in Matthew 12:4 and Luke 6:4. So they are substituting the true God for this false God. And I believe his name is the Presence, and he is symbolized by this Royal Arch symbol, which we see on the New King James.
So Dave Hunt, who's bitterly attacked the King James Bible on occasion, as well as your book, I might add, and who made the ridiculous assertion that the New Age does not have a plan for a one-world Bible. I did a whole special edition of my newsletter quoting New Ager after New Age authority that said that's exactly what they wanted. And poor Dave Hunt, I asked people to pray for him because obviously he was just ignorant of these things and he really didn't know very much about the New Age movement. And so he had been deceived. But I do recall that book that he wrote called Confessions of a Heretic. He said that some kind of a ball of light came in his room, the Presence, and he began to speak in other tongues.
Right. Well, he called it the Presence with a capital P. And in all the occult literature I've ever read, they always talk about the devil, and that's one of his code names, you know, the Presence.
I tell you, if a ball of light came into my room and he called himself the Presence, I think I'd rebuke it in the name of Jesus and send it right back out. Because, you know, what does Philippians say about that name that is above all other names? And, of course, the very fact that he began to speak in other tongues. And when the Presence came in, and by the way, Dave Hunt has claimed that he does not speak in tongues. And because that book is out of print, and I suppose he doesn't think people can get access to that book where he admitted it and actually promoted it. So Dave Hunt is a big tongue speaker. Practices it. He's told Phil Arms, pastor of Houston Church, that he is. But he asked Phil Arms to please not tell too many people about it. He doesn't, you know, he's afraid that people will criticize him. Most people don't know that he's charismatic, that he believes in speaking in tongues. So Dave Hunt has told Phil Arms, you know, don't don't make this too public, if you don't mind. So I guess he wouldn't be invited back on the John Ankerberg show or something, because Ankerberg, you know, is not charismatic. So he wants to sort of blend in with both groups, you know, the Peter Lalonde's, who are charismatic, and then blend in over with the fundamentalists who are against charismatic tongues. So that is an interesting thing. You mentioned James White, too. Here's another bitter critic of the King James Bible. I mean, boy, he's made some savage attacks on you. But in his book, he actually uses this favorably, this symbol.
Well, all of his letters now have this little logo at the end of them. And I noticed at the end of his book, you know, this King James Controversy book, he's got this little logo symbol. And so he knows that everyone knows it's the 666 symbol. And so why he would start using it, I don't know. But evidently he's aligning himself with these Masons, you know. These people who are Christians and are becoming so confused by these new Bible versions are just horrible. There's a group of intercessory prayer people across the United States that are using a book called The Mighty Warrior, A Guide to Effective Prayer. It was written by Elizabeth Alves. And in that book, it tells them to rebuke the devil. Well, you know, they can go ahead and do that. That's fine. But it says use his names. And one of the names they recommend is the Morning Star. Or the. So we have these poor people out there rebuking Jesus Christ, who is the Morning Star. You know, the devil is not the Morning Star.
Oh, he's just a counterfeit.
It's not the Morning Star.
Wow.
Poor Christians are rebuking Jesus Christ and, you know, blaspheming God, and they don't even realize that they're doing this.
Using a symbol. Bethany Press, I think, published that book by White, which, by the way, I remember Dr. Ruckman recommended that book. He recommended it so you could get it and see how it's so full of errors and so messed up. Here's a guy who tries to blast the King James, but he has error after error in his book. It's so unscholarly. Ruckman says you'll never leave the King James Bible after you've seen who here's the guy they're saying is our champion of the new versions, and his book is packed with errors, and in fact, I think he misspelled your name in one of his writings. The guy doesn't, you know, he wrote a whole thing bashing you, and throughout the whole thing, Gail, he couldn't even spell your name. So I thought that was just really funny. It shows how God is able to confound the enemies of Christ, and that's what I believe they are, in my opinion. And God is able to confound them. I mean, they just get confused and mixed up and tongue-tied. I've been, I'll never forget how mad Benjamin Krem got at me, became at me when I debated him on radio. Oh, he was so angry because I quoted the Bible. The guy almost got tongue-tied, and he's a very articulate gentleman. So it just tells you that God is not with these people, and yet the adversary is. Well, talking about that, Roman Catholicism. A lot of people believe that the NIV, the New American Standard, these are Protestant Bibles. But you have an amazing connection revealed about a Roman Catholic cardinal. Tell us about that.
Well, the Greek text that underlies the new versions, today it's called the NEFLS, or United Bible Society's text, is under the control of a handful of men. But most of those men, unfortunately, are over 80 years old, or they have just recently passed away. Now, the only one of this group that creates these NEFLS, or United Bible Society's Greek texts, the only one that's left or that's still volatile is 68 years old, and his name is Cardinal Carlo Maria Martini. Okay? Now, he is the man that Time magazine said is the man most likely to be the next pope, okay? Now, you'll probably remember Martini from a few years ago. He's the one who signed the joint connection treaty with Israel, and he said that he wanted to die in Israel. Now, I hope he doesn't want to sit in the temple of God showing himself that he is God, but that's probably what he wants to do. But he wrote an encyclical, and he wrote a paper saying that fundamentalists were dangerous. He was also wrote the preface to the New Jerusalem commentary. And in that commentary, they deny all of the cardinal doctrines of the faith. They deny the deity of Jesus Christ. They deny the miracles in the Bible. They deny the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. They question all of these essential doctrines. And we have this man writing the preface and recommending this New Jerusalem Bible commentary. And so he is obviously not a Christian man, but he is the one who is controlling. Does something go in or is something taken out of this NEFLS text that underlies the NIV or that underlies the New American Standard Bible. And, you know, a funny thing happened to the scholars when the 26th edition of this Greek text came out. They had to go back to the King James in 492 places because the papyri had been collated in the 50s and 60s, and they discovered that they had been wrong all of these years in 492 places. And so they're very embarrassed. So the Greek text had to reintroduce these readings in there. However, the New American Standard and the NIV, all those 30 and 40 years that those things have been out, did not have any of those readings in it. So those poor sweet little old ladies that were carrying around their King James had the most recent scholarship, and they really didn't realize it. So those of us who just hold on to our King James Bibles and don't let go are going to be happier. As a matter of fact, you know, a number of people that were on the New King James Committee have renounced it, Dr. Henry Morris being one of them. And he said, quote, "The KJV is the most reliable of any that we have or ever will have until Christ returns. People need to hang on to their King James Bibles as long as they live." And that's an exact quote from Dr. Henry Morris, who was on the New King James Committee, looked at it and saw that it was a blasphemous mess and is now renouncing it. Another man on the New King James Committee, Dr. Curtis Hudson, former editor of The Sword of the Lord, wrote an article, "Things That Are Different Are Not the Same." And in essence, he concluded that the King James was the true word of God. The New King James was a counterfeit, and he didn't want any part of it anymore.
Mm. Well, they haven't published these kinds of things in Christianity Today and Moody Magazine.
Well,
I wonder why.
On the back of Christianity Today a few months ago, there was a book that was advertised. John Marks Templeton was advertising a book. The book was promoting monism, promoting pantheism. This is on the back of Christianity Today. You know, it says wolves in sheep's clothing. We're all looking for wolves. But in fact, it is wolves in sheep's clothing. And Templeton, who is on the board of the American Bible Society, also was on the board of Princeton University, that's coming out with all these demonic books and all that sort of thing. But now the Lateris edition of the Hebrew text has been upped in price. It is now $130 coming out of the American Bible Society. It's the only place that I know in America that you can get the true Hebrew Ben-Hahim Old Testament underlying the King James Bible. They've upped the price to $130 so that no one can get it. It used to be $25, and there's absolutely no reason why a book would go from $25 to $130 other than Mr. Templeton and his occult friends don't want people seeing the true Hebrew Bible. You know, you had that beautiful tape, Hidden Secrets in the New Bible Versions, talking about the statistical science analysis. But if you take the texts underlying the New King James, like the Samaritan Pentateuch and some of those, the statistical analysis that worked for that article in statistical science that you were talking about does not work with the text type underlying the New King James, the NIV, or the NASB. It only works with the King James Hebrew text, which is the Ben-Hakim Rabbinic Bible. And the New King James has as its base in the Old Testament the corrupt Rudolf Kittel Stuttgart edition. And as you know, Rudolf Kittel was anti-Semitic. If you read about him in the Encyclopedia Judaica 1971, it says he's anti-Semitic, number one. Number two, he has contributions of Hellenistic mystery religions in his writings. And so this is not an Old Testament that Christians should be using, but unfortunately there it is. It's the Old Testament of the New King James, of the NIV, and the NASB.
So we have a Catholic connection with the New Versions. We have an anti-Semitic connection with the New Versions. You know, I was also seeing in Christianity Today, which is becoming just, I call it the liberal rag of the Christian world, but they have a, you know what you said before, they keep changing the versions, and then they change those, and they keep having to change those. Now, the Living Bible, put out by Tyndall House, now they have a New Living Bible, right?
Right, right. I analyzed the New Living Bible just with the sample that they had given, and the sample that they gave, the King James had 80 words. They had 120 words to say the same thing. So there was a 50% increase in the number of words to say the same thing. Now, how can this enhance memorization? How can this enhance readability? It absolutely can't. And within that small section that they showed, they denied several basic doctrines of the Christian faith. And so this New Living Bible will probably find its translators losing their voice, just like Kenneth Taylor lost his voice.
Well, you know, I noticed that they had a big ad in Christianity Today for this New Living Bible. And it was by Billy Graham. Billy Graham endorsed it. And he said, once you obtain this Bible, you won't want any others. This is the Bible, is what Billy Graham said. I'm paraphrasing, but it's exactly what he said. He endorsed this. Now, it's interesting that Billy Graham says, this is the Bible. Once you get this Bible, You know, you won't go back to your old Bible. I mean, this is it for Billy Graham, the New Living Bible. But the Lord's Prayer addresses God as our mother slash father.
Oh, my.
So Billy Graham is now agreeing with the new Bible change that calls God our mother. Billy Graham, you may be old, but come on. I mean, of course, Billy Graham's been pushing the Living Bible ever since it came out in ads and promotions and everything else. But to push a Bible, Billy Graham, that says our mother in the Lord's Prayer, I'm sorry. I'm just not going to go for that. And now there's another little problem here. A man named Martin Woodstra. Tell us about that horrible story that you've documented in your video.
Well, Martin Woodstra was the chairman of the Old Testament Committee for the NIV Bible. And it appears that he was pro-homosexual. There's a pro-homosexual newsletter called The Record. And in their January 1992 issue, Dr. Ralph Blair, who's in charge of this, said, quote, that Dr. Woodstra said he was a friend of the EC. The EC is the Evangelicals.
Oh, that's that homosexual group, pro-homosexual group.
Well, they called him their friend, and he said he was a friend of theirs. And they said, Martin Woodstra said, the Bible contained nothing against homosexuality. And so Mr. Martin Woodstra never married, and that doesn't really necessarily mean anything, but it does appear to be a problem in his case if he was a friend of the evangelicals' concern. He was the man who initiated the idea way back in the 1950s at Calvin College for the NIV. And then when we look at the NIV today and sodomy is completely omitted in the Old Testament, we can kind of see why he said that the Bible contains nothing against homosexuality, because he took it all out. And then when you look at the New King James Bible, where we have Dr. Price from Temple Seminary, he's taken sodomy out of the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, they've replaced the feminists with something called catamites. Now, when you look up the catamite in the dictionary, it tells you that that is someone who has been kidnapped by a child molester. So that is the child who was kidnapped by a child molester. So they're saying that it's not wrong to be a homosexual or an effeminate. It's just wrong to be the child that got kidnapped by one of these people. And so the New King James and the NIV are all very, very pro-homosexual. Not only with Dr. Virginia Mollenkott on board, but with this Martin Woodstra and with some of the terrible things that Dr. Price has done to the Old Testament, omitting sodomy in the New King James.
So here's this Martin Woodstra, who says he's a friend of evangelicals concerned, and what they're concerned about is promoting homosexual agendas. And he was the Old Testament chairman, and
right.
Now the word sodomy has been removed from the Old Testament and the NIV by this guy who's a supporter of this homosexual supposed fake, well, let's see, there's a fake Christian group, Martin Woodstra. And then Virginia Mollenkott, she was also, what was her position now?
Well, Dr. Mollenkott was a stylist. And when you call the International Bible Society and you tell them that Mollenkott was involved and you ask why did they have this homosexual lady on the committee, they say, well, she wasn't involved all that long. But in my magazine, Blind Guides, I've documented letters from her. And she kindly responded when people asked her if that was the truth. And she said that Barker was playing word games, Barker being the head of the NIV.
Well, Gail, I want to thank you for being on World of Prophecy, and I hope you'll come back again.
It's been my privilege, Tex.
Folks, the video is in, let's just call it shorthand the title, Perfection Versus Perversion by Gail Ripplinger. 3-hour video set for your love gift of $30 plus $3 shipping and handling. You can order it by calling 1-800-234-9673. Gail, you also have a ministry with many other videos and tapes. How can folks get in touch with your ministry?
Well, they can call us at AV Publications, and our number is 1-800-435-4535. And those outside the United States can write to us at P.O. Box 280, Ararat, that's A-R-A-R-A-T, Virginia, and the zip is 24053 USA.
All right, Gail, it's been a great privilege.
Well, it's been my privilege, Tex.
Folks, each week during the same time, tune in and discover a world of prophecy.
Thank you.
You've been listening to World of Prophecy with your host, Tex Mars.